Okay, welcome back. You know, you got to admit, John Glanville is a really interesting guy, and the company that he was chatting about, which is a sponsor company, by the way, as I disclosed on our site, Amarillo Gold. It's a pretty interesting situation. I got Mickey Fulp with me right now. Mickey is a friend of John's. He's also a good friend of the two folks who were very, very instrumental in getting Amarillo Gold off the ground. And so I thought, you know, I got it. Since we talked about Mickey in the last segment, we have to kind of give the devil his due here and bring him back on. How you doing down in New Mexico, Mick?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's just a gorgeous day here. It hit 70 degrees today, which is probably an all-time record for the state in February. And I find it interesting. You were just talking to John. I've known John for a number of years, and I actually probably was instrumental in putting the two parties together, the management of Amarillo Gold. As you're aware, I'm a founding shareholder of Amarillo Gold, and they are sponsors of my website.
Sure.
And I worked previously with John in the mid-2000s on another company. I think very highly of all the people involved there.
Oh, yeah, no, they're good guys, and their feelings towards you are obviously mutual. You know, Mick, you and I did a daily show earlier this week where we talked about what people need to be aware of when they are looking at resource companies, you know, from a standpoint of investment. And I brought out something that I thought was really interesting, and that is I had just started reading a book that you have already read. The book is called The Big Short, and it really talks about how the conventional stock markets, to a very large extent, are smoke and mirrors, at least in my mind. And I mentioned to you when we did the Daily Show that the segment of the resource industry, and I want to stress this, as you brought out, the segment that you and I are involved in, okay, because of your background and my background, we basically are very, very keen on one thing in terms of when we write checks to companies to buy stock, and that is, man, the business fundamentals have to be there. It's not smoke and mirrors. We're not talking about investing in some kind of stupid derivatives where that, you know, that may never see the light of day, right?
Well, that's very true, Al, and I commend you for reading business books. I'm reading Keith Richards' autobiography called Life right now, so my head's into rock and roll during my time off from the desk here. But yeah, The Big Short's quite an interesting book. It's written by Michael Lewis, and the guy is very well grounded in financial matters. I think he at one time worked on Wall Street or in the finance business. And he also wrote a very interesting book that baseball fans will know called Moneyball, and very much based on the economic models and statistical models. But, you know, this thing that went on in the major markets been going on for years and years. It just didn't pop up after the high-tech bubble crashed. You know, this financial engineering, and you've got these junior computer scientists with their statistical and mathematical models, and those sorts of investments completely ignore the fundamentals of the stock market.
Exactly.
It's quite puzzling.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I find that to be amazing. I really do. You know, it's, I guess that type of investing, you know, that Michael Lewis wrote about is, it's a great example of, you know, people thinking they're the prettiest baby in the nursery and that they can't possibly be wrong and that something or someone or they're being rewarded, you know, with huge amounts of money because they're so darn smart. And, you know, in reality, that's not really, I mean, yeah, I'm sure they're very intelligent, but boy, a lot of the investments that have brought this country to its knees really have, in my opinion, been just absolutely stupid. But, you know, getting back to the resource industry, you and I put fundamentals before anything else, you know, and I've got a good, strong business background. You've got a very, very strong geological background, and you've also done so much reading in the financial world that you've got a good background there, too. But give our listeners, if you would, kind of an investing in resource companies 101, would you?
Well, it probably sounds like a broken record. I've said this so many times, but in the junior resource sector, number one, we are not investing. We are speculating. And investment implies that you expect some regular sort of return on your money. For the most part, those things that would include things like your house, which you would look at in normal economic times as an investment. Mm-hmm. This is pure speculation. And because of that, we have to base that on very strong fundamentals and due diligence in any company we look at. And I base that on the old thing of share structure, people, and projects. And then we look for undervalued stocks. And what we're really trying to do is get a double in 12 months or less and take our money off the table and play with someone else's money. In a bull market, it's an infallible way to make money in this business.
My humble opinion, after investing in the market for 35 years, everything you mentioned is really, really critical. You know, what I have to look at as a non-technical individual, though, is I really have to look at the management. You know, assets are important. Certainly capital structure is important, etc. But you know what? You get a management team in there that has got ulterior motives or that doesn't have the ability to take a company forward, that is not, feels no fiduciary responsibility to his shareholders, you're going to have a real problem.
Oh, absolutely. And I will agree with you that people are paramount, but also, I think all three of these things have to be right.
Oh, sure.
The share structure, people, and projects. So you can have the greatest management team in the world, but if they don't have a viable project, you don't have a company that's going to work in the long haul. We've talked about this before. There are 1,750 juniors out there. I reject immediately off the bat 98% of those.
Mm-hmm.
So based on share structure, people, projects, you do 2% of that. That means at any one time I will be interested in perhaps 85 to 90 companies.
Right.
Then you put the criteria of undervalue on top of that, and companies go in and out of being undervalued. So
mm-hmm.
what was undervalued last year may or may not be undervalued this year. If I'm doing my job right and I pick an undervalued company in 1 month, 6 months, or a maximum of 12 months, it will no longer be undervalued. It will be fully valued or overvalued, and I'm long gone and looking for the next one.
You know, the resource industry, from a speculation, using your word, from a speculation standpoint, is really, really interesting. And I think it's overlooked by investors, and 98% of the investors that overlook it should. And the reason I say that is because you've really got to realize your limitations in terms of your expertise in this particular industry. And if you aren't willing to admit your weakness and look to somebody else to give you advice, a real expert in the industry, you do not belong in it. This is not an industry for people who are convinced that they are the prettiest babies in the nursery, because it's really, really special. And no question about that. You know, one thing, maybe this sounds like I'm changing the subject, and maybe we are, but, you know, the thing that I find amazing is that Mr. and Mrs. Average America don't have any understanding of how critical the mining industry is to society around the world. I mean, anything that impacts your life is a direct outgrowth of the mining industry.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's basically three businesses in the world that actually generate wealth or create wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Farming, you could say logging in the timber industry, and then mining.
I agree.
We take things from the earth, we extract them, we actually create new wealth versus basically taking the wealth that exists in the world and moving it from one place to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we are kind of the fundamental basis of modern society. Everything we use is, of course, either, it's the old saying, if you can't grow it, it has to be mined, and that's exactly right. And so we add wealth, and if we do our jobs right in this business, we will create wealth and make the world a better place. And it's kind of a lofty goal to do that, but that's one reason I became a geologist,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, see the world, explore, develop, and create wealth and make the world a better place for everybody.
I'm with you 100%. I mean, I don't have the technical expertise that you do, but you know, I'm a pretty passionate guy, and I know an awful lot about business and finance. And I'll tell you, I think this is the greatest industry out there for folks to be involved in. Mick has got a great website, themercenarygeologist.com. Mick, thanks so much.
Always, Al.
Have a great weekend. If you happen to be in the Phoenix area, drop around and say hi. I'm doing a workshop at the show, and we're going to be broadcasting from the Cambridge House Silver Conference in Phoenix.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.